Hello, I'm Joel Hughes.
And I'm Aurora Alexander.
And this is the Psychology Pathways Podcast.
We help busy psychology students succeed.
If you want to contact us, send an email to psychologypathwayspodcast, all one word, at gmail.com.
All right, Joel, what's your favorite movie?
Oh, that's a tough one. Although I think I'm going to say the whole Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Oh.
Because I was such a fan of the books. And I remember when that came out, it was so exciting. And we went and saw them all in the theater. And then, you know, about every Christmas time, I like to get out my boxed set and just kind of have it on. Have you ever done the Lord of the Rings director's cut marathon with your friends from like 8 in the morning until about 2 in the morning?
No, I have not. Have you read the books?
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay, yeah, I've read all the books.
As I lovingly refer to them as the nerd Bibles.
Oh, yeah. Yes, they are our scriptures. Us nerds.
Oh, I didn't know you were a Lord of the Rings nerd. Whoa, okay.
I mean, it can only go so far. You okay. Know? When the Hobbit movies started coming out, they're just not the same. They're not as good. So I don't know.
But you went and watched them.
I watched the first one, and then I was like, okay, I'm done with this.
Oh, whoa, okay.
I don't know why we had to have so much of the character that nobody likes.
Okay.
But anyway.
So along with that, like, do you know behind the scenes stuff? Are you that big of a nerd you want to know all about them?
Although I did learn about how they built a set in New Zealand and how they actually like let it grow for a year so that they didn't have to create a set on the spot. It was more like, we're going to actually make a village and we're going to actually have real farms that grew.
See?
So when the hobbits come to live here next year when we're filming, it'll be ready to go.
Okay.
I thought that was hysterical. They spared no expense for realism. And I think that the director was a much bigger Lord of the Rings nerd than myself, which is why it really, really worked.
Okay.
So what about you? What's your favorite movie?
So my favorite movie of all time, I would say, would be Labyrinth, Jim Henson's Labyrinth. So Jim Henson from The Muppets. So I'm talking for our listeners. If you don't know who Jim Henson is, you'll know who The Muppets are. And so he created a movie called Labyrinth back in the 80s, and David Bowie was in it, and there's lots of music or whatever. When I really enjoy something, I want to know everything about that something. I think we're all that way to a certain degree. That's why on YouTube you can see the behind the scenes of any popular show or movie, like the new Lion King or the Stranger Things season or Game of Thrones. People love seeing what's behind the camera. So back in the day, we had, you know, before YouTube, we had the E! Hollywood True Story or whatever, or VH1 behind.
Entertainment
Tonight. Yeah, VH1 behind the
music.
Now
we
music.
Have a podcast.
Yes. And so I think students, you know, it just doesn't stop at Hollywood. That curiosity goes way into even career fields.
Yes.
And so this is a great thing for students to take advantage of, this curiosity, and really put it to good use. So, Joel, if you, as a student, if you're interested in a certain career field or a job or a company, and there's not a YouTube channel devoted to it, how do they find out about the behind the scenes?
Well, that's what I call inside information. And I think that cultivating that curiosity is a really good idea for students, because the way you find out what the job is actually like or what the graduate school is actually like, the way you find out what the special lingo is that will make the person that you're interviewing with feel comfortable is, you know, the way that you find out how to get in or what they're looking for, all of that is inside information. And the people that are already there know. You know, for example, when my students want to study something in health psychology, I try to find a physician who's a specialist in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And because before we even start a project, if we sit down for an hour with someone who knows about that topic, you know, the student will come away knowing so much, and they'll know the lingo, they'll know, you know, the epidemiology, they'll know the common treatments, they'll know what patients have to do to take care of themselves. And then the level of sophistication that we can bring to designing a study about that issue is so much better. So I really like that idea of, you know, who can you talk to get like the inside scoop on a career, a job, a graduate school, anything like that.
Right. So in the career biz, we call this informational interviews. They are exactly what they sound like. So you're not going for a job interview where you're seeking a job. These are informational interviews and you're seeking information. You're kind of like an investigative reporter.
So, okay.
So what I have found out is that people love talking about themselves, believe it or not. Some will do self-deprecating, you know, jokes, mm-hmm. and they feel uncomfortable being put on the spot in a group. But when you're one-on-one with somebody, they actually really love telling you about their story, how they got to where they are, how they got into the company or how they got into the field. And they will really give you the unfiltered truth.
Oh, yeah.
The do's and the don'ts, the things that they wish they would have done. I wish I would have did this program, or now that I'm on the other side, I wish I would have done this, or I had friends that went through this, or I'm so glad that I did this versus that. And they kind of tell you the things that you'll probably never hear in graduate school, because graduate programs want to sell you the goods, like, oh, we're so awesome, this is so great, you'll have all these yeah. opportunities. But really, talking with people that have been through it and been to the other side, they'll tell you the goods, the bads, and the uglies.
I wish I would have done informational interviews when I was looking for graduate schools. For me, I didn't really talk to the students in the program until I got there.
Yeah.
And not in graduate school, but I would go to the interview day, and then you're right, it's a sales pitch. It's a come to the party, everybody's going to have mm-hmm. a glass of wine and eat mm-hmm. a piece of pizza, mm-hmm. and we're going to tell you how awesome it is to be here in the city and how all the fun things there are to do. And that's just a different vibe than if I had an opportunity to talk to the students or the faculty before I even applied. Yeah. And I don't know what I was thinking. I just never did that.
Well, I don't even know that people realize that that informational interviews are a thing. Is that a thing?
I don't think I knew that.
And so I didn't know it until going into my second year of graduate school.
Okay.
And once I found out that that was like a real thing,
I go,
whoa, I can actually use this. And they became invaluable to me. So there was a lot of things that I knew at that point that I wanted to do. I was in a counseling program. I knew that I wanted to work in an educational environment. I decided that I wanted to work in a university setting with adults. You know, mm-hmm. even though they're students, they're still adults. But there were still, at the time, for student affairs, there was like 43 different functional areas that I could
yeah.
possibly. I can't have 43.
It's
amazing. I can't have 43 internships. I don't have that amount of time. So I could have two or three internships at best. And in the meantime, I can start checking off boxes or drawing a line either under a functional area or drawing a line through it. And it was through informational interviews. And I would say the last year of my graduate school program, I did over 30.
Wow.
I was on it, man. Anything that sounded interesting to me, I did it. And I did it with people. I was interviewing people that were brand new to mm-hmm. the field, people that were seasoned, maybe getting ready to retire, people that were midway through, people at this university, at this institution, all these different areas. So I didn't want to just take their one person's word for it. I wanted to really collect as much data as possible and make the best decision for me. So, after you realized what informational interviews were, did you ever do any on your own?
I don't think I've ever done one on purpose until I was already on the faculty, because I'm a slow learner and I was not in the biz. And so no one ever told me, but I came to the conclusion after having been the undergraduate coordinator for 5 years that, you know, informational interviews to get inside information is really the key that unlocks so much mm-hmm. of what you can find out about a career or how to get into graduate school and things like that. So to me, inside information is, and then acting on that.
Yeah.
It's no good if you find out, hey, at this graduate school, it's really important that you've done some work in an animal lab, and then you just ignore that.
Yeah.
Or if you find out at this career, it's really important that you dress business casual, but don't dress too conservatively
yeah.
because, you know, this is a fashion forward company and we're trying
right.
to have a certain image, and you show up in a 3-piece suit, you know, mm-hmm.
You
got to act on the.
Take heed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you're bringing up informational interviews, and I think that as you're talking, I'm thinking about the advantages. First of all, they're fast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this does not take a whole 15-week program of study.
No.
You find one person, you talk for an hour, you're good.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, there's no resistance because you're not saying, give me a job.
No,
and you're not
right.
saying, I need an internship.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, you're saying, this is an opportunity for you to talk and me to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, people pay money to go to counseling
yeah.
where they can talk and the other person's not allowed to talk.
That's true.
I mean, they do talk. But so if you say, hey, I would love to hear how you got your job at company ABC or whatever,
mm-hmm.
they're unfiltered.
Yeah.
Because this is not the sales pitch. This is not the career day. This mm-hmm. is not the bring your kid to work day. This is, hey, let's get coffee. Tell me what it's actually like to be a fill in the blank.
Right.
You know? And then the last thing I like about it is this is another form of networking.
Yeah.
Now
absolutely.
They know you. And you didn't ask for nothing. And so if in the future they find out about something, they could let you know.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think this is great for psychology students because they get to open doors and close doors when it comes to decision making when, you know, involving these informational interviews. If it closes a door, great. If, you know, because you will know what you don't want to do moving forward and you're not wasting time, like you said, spending 15 weeks in some sort of program or internship or something like that. If it opens a door, great, even better, because now you know what you want and now you have a new connection, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
It's all a part of networking. Now, you know, I'm sure that you guys have listened to our networking number one way to get a job. Now you have that connection. This could possibly be someone part of your starting five or in your people net.
Quick story.
Yeah, sure.
So just 2 days ago, we were talking about networking last time we recorded. 2 days ago, someone asked to, I don't know what it's called on LinkedIn when someone like says, hey, add me to your circle or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But I got one of those friend requests, I'll call it, because I only understand Facebook.
I think it's connect or something.
Yeah, someone asked to connect. And so I said, sure, because you never say no on LinkedIn.
Right.
And they're from around here, and they're another scientist somewhere. And so I immediately sent them a message. In fact, I got to check and see if they responded. Because I was like, hey, you connected. Why? You know, I'm curious what's going on. But it's such a low-cost, low-hassle way of just, like, expanding the network a little bit. Because you never know. You never know when there might be something.
Know.
You know, and maybe this person, if I really wanted to get into the area of research that they're in, I could do an informational interview. Now that we're connected, it's like a false sense of, oh, I know you, even though we really mm-hmm. don't. And then I could be like, well, hey, you're in the area. Let's get coffee and talk about your research, you know. And for me to say to someone, you talk to me about your research, that sounds fun to them.
Yeah, exactly. And I will tell you, with all the informational interviews that I did during my last, and I still do informational interviews from time to time, especially in the field that I work in, there's lots of areas that I'm not really sure about. And so in order for me to deliver more concise information to students when they come in with questions, I conduct informational interviews for myself so that I have more of a, you know, a Rolodex to kind of pick from. And so also to help students like, oh, reach out to this person to find more, you know, for informational interviews. But I never received one no. Like when I was emailing people or calling people.
Really?
Now, there were some people that didn't email me back, but
that's
was
not
fine.
A no.
That's not a no, but I never received a hard no ever. But I already had so many fillers out anyways that it really didn't bother me.
Okay, here's my questions.
Okay.
Because I'm still new to this.
Okay.
How do I write an email that someone will actually say, yes, come and meet with me and talk about my thing?
So it's short and it's sweet and it's flattering.
Okay.
So you tell a little bit about yourself. Hi, my name is Aurora Alexander. I am a psychology student at Kent State or wherever you go. And I am really interested in this job field or this particular job title or getting a job within this company. I would love to chat with you for 10 to 15 minutes about how you got to where you are. Would sometime this day or this day work for you? And so what happens is it's something short and sweet. You've told them who you are mm-hmm. and that you're not asking for a lot, even though time is a lot, but you're not asking, you're not writing a blank check. You're asking for a specific time frame, 10 to 15 minutes, and you're asking on specific days and give them choices.
I want an hour.
Yeah, and that's fine because they usually turn into an hour.
Yeah, you can say 15 minutes and Realistically,
they block off their schedule. Yeah, they block off their schedule for an hour because it's an escape for them. It's not a deadline. It's not anything. This is easy. So they always block off an hour. But if it's 15 minutes, if it's a horrible informational interview, they go, okay, well, that's time.
Or if you're not having fun, you could be like, thank you so much for your time. I promised I wouldn't take it all.
That's right.
But it sounds like you're professional. It's a very small ask.
Yeah.
It's not give me a job. It's like, I'm trying to find out how people got into this field.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really interested in the things that you're doing at your company. And could I talk to you for 15 minutes? You know, I'll buy a cup of coffee. Do you have a lunch hour? I promise I won't take up all your day.
Yeah.
And so a small ask and professional really
helps. Professional. And again, it's not a blank check. You're not saying, could you possibly squeeze it? Because if someone asks me, do you have time to do this? My initial knee jerk reaction is no, I don't have time. I don't have the bandwidth.
No.
But if you say, you know, peas or carrots, you're going to be eating at some point next
yes.
week. Would you rather eat peas or carrots? And then when you say, and they'll even come back and clarify and go, actually, Tuesday, Thursday mornings aren't good for me, but I'm always free yes. on Wednesday afternoons.
I don't know
if you knew this,
but this is the negotiating tactic where you actually try to get a no.
Oh, really?
Yes. Everyone thinks
because
you're supposed to get a yes.
Because it's a clarifying no.
Well, yeah, because you say, you know, could I meet with you next Tuesday for 15 minutes to talk about your graduate program? You're going to get a no, but you're going to get a, I'm not here on Tuesday. And so what
yeah.
about Wednesday? You're not going to get a, you know, you might not get a reply at all, but you're not going to get a, who are you? Why are you contacting me? I mean, nobody freaks out about these things.
Nope.
They're just like, oh, that's not the right day.
And the people that you're reaching out to, I guarantee you, they can look back in their memory banks and remember when they were students and they were on the hunt and they were struggling and they had the fire in their belly and
yes.
they were wanting more. So my heart bleeds for that kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that struggle. And a lot of people do too. And so if that's all it takes is just 15, 20 minutes, maybe an hour to talk with that person to let them know how I got to where I was, that tickles me to death. That's a highlight of my day.
So how do you pick what person to target at the university or company?
Well, you can have some connections. So if you do have a LinkedIn account, if you've already, you know, listened to our podcast on networking and number one way to get a job, you already have a LinkedIn account. By having that, you can easily look for people that work for, say you want to work for Coca-Cola,
because mm-hmm.
I would love for them to sponsor us someday. Say you want to work for Coke. You can look on LinkedIn and find people that actually work for Coke. So maybe you want to do training and development for Coca-Cola.
Okay, so niche down to the correct field.
So you can really, down to the granular level and find someone that works. And it's even better if there's a Kent State connection.
Oh,
if
yes. there's alumni.
Yeah. If there is an alum presence. So maybe you don't go to Kent State. Maybe you go to Marshall University and somebody, you know, that's already an in for you.
Okay.
So you're not coming in as a complete stranger.
Yeah. So there's a continuum from, you know, this is my uncle all the way down to I've never heard of this person.
Right.
And in the middle there is friend of a friend, or we're already connected on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you have to cold call, don't be afraid to.
Don't be afraid to.
But the CEO of Coke is not going to talk to you.
No.
Rather,
no. Yes.
Someone that's maybe in human resources,
yeah.
if it's kind of related to what they do anyway,
mm-hmm.
that's a good person to talk to.
Yeah, maybe not the director of training and development for Coca-Cola, but maybe one of the,
corporate trainer.
Yeah, a corporate trainer.
Someone who's just doing the mid-level, not quite yeah. entry, but so they've been there a while.
They've been there a while. Mm-hmm.
When I was undergraduate curriculum coordinator, I had a policy that I would never say no if a student was looking at the university
mm-hmm.
and they wanted to visit. One time it was someone from another country and they were like a sophomore in high school.
Oh,
and
wow.
I still met with them. It was hysterical. I was like, you don't even know if you're going to college. But I met with them and showed them around.
Yeah.
And if I couldn't, I would find someone else who could. And so if someone is in the role that they're supposed to be outward facing and talking to the public, that's a good person to contact.
Mm-hmm.
If they're a faculty person that is not the director of anything, and they're just, you know, some instructor or researcher, they may not ever email back.
Right.
And it's not personal.
No.
But it's like if you try to like do an informational interview with a primary care physician in a busy practice, they mm-hmm. just may not talk to you.
Right.
You know, so it really depends on how easy they are to get a hold of and if they are in an outward facing position. And so there's always an admissions coordinator. There's always a...
Yes.
someone whose job it is to, you know, when an athlete shows up and they're like, oh, quick, call Joel. You know, we want to show this person around. Mm-hmm. She plays volleyball in high school. She might want to be a psychology major. Then they come looking for me. Or advisors. You know, right. It's sometimes there's advisors even at companies, but they're not like an academic advisor. They're more of like a corporate trainer, or they're in human resources, mm-hmm. or, you know, all of those sorts of roles are people that are used to working with the public, and they're smart people to contact, not so much the vice president of marketing.
Right. Right. Yeah. So doing informational interviews, it's going to be a great thing, because not only will you be able to establish a connection of some sort, it could lead to possible other things. So say it goes well and you make a connection, you could possibly job shadow, which is another baby step before getting an internship.
So you're not swimming yet, but now you're waiting around.
Yeah, you're getting used to the pool a little bit. And hey, maybe once you job shadow for a few hours, you go, I thought this person seemed nice. It sounded great on paper, but actually seeing it applied, not so much.
Some jobs are used to being shadowed. You know, everyone who's pre-med should go and shadow a physician of various specialties for a while, and they're mm-hmm. used to that, and they'll do that. Some jobs, you don't really shadow those. And so it would be weird. I don't know how you would do it to like shadow the vice president of marketing, because, you know, what are they doing? They're traveling, they're giving presentations, they're working with their team, they're managing. Mm-hmm. And so to shadow someone that manages a big team, it's like, do you even understand what's happening?
No, right.
So it really depends on the kind of career that the person is in. But shadowing is like a deeper level of involvement. And it really, you know, without doing an internship, you can find out whether or not it's for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And one thing I want to bring up that's related to both informational interviews and shadowing and internships is, how do you get past that yucky feeling of rejection and nobody loves you and they won't email you back and they say, no, go away? What do you do about that?
I don't know. When you figure that out, you let me know.
Well, I'll tell you what you do.
I still struggle with that.
Well, I mean, okay, so you acknowledge that might happen.
Yeah.
But this is just business.
Right.
And so there's a huge difference between I want to get this job and I want to come to this graduate school versus I am doing my informational interviews, you know, because mm-hmm. you can contact 30 people. Yeah. And if 5 say yes, then those are the people that you interview.
That's right.
And you don't care about the other 25.
Yeah, you forget about the other 25.
Yeah, if you want to work at some big company and you contact human resources and you contact marketing and you contact accounting and somebody says yes, then you're in. And if everybody mm-hmm. says no, then never mind.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter, because you cast a wide enough net that, you know, you only need one. Actually, you do need more than one. You only need one job, but you only need some,
right,
you know, informational interviews. And it's fine to hear no. Who cares?
That's true.
So you develop a thick skin, realize it's just business, and go for it. Because what you want at the end of the day is to have done the right number. For you, it was 30. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
For some people, it might be. What do you think is the right number of informational interviews for someone to do if they're in the 55% of students who are going to graduate and then get a job?
Oh, it really depends on if you want a specific company versus if you want a specific career field. Because if it's a certain company, then the net is not so big, because you're, you know what I mean? So you probably do an informational interview with, two or three different people and get a few different perspectives. But if it's a career field, I would say you can't go wrong with 5 to 10, because it depends on the environment. Are you working in an educational setting? Say you're a counselor. Yeah. Are you working in a hospital? Are you working in a clinic? Are you working for a government agency? Are you working in a prison system? Are you working with juveniles? You know what I mean? So just understanding different environments, and you want a wide enough net to kind of weigh the pros and cons of each one.
So I'm going to take a wild guess and suggest that the average number of informational interviews that students typically do is zero.
Zero. But yes, I would say one informational interview is better than none.
But if you did 5 to 10
on purpose, rock star,
then that means, let's imagine that you want to be in social service agency. Mm-hmm. You know, if you interviewed with 5 to 10 professionals that are already there, frontline people, then you would understand so much about what social service agencies are like wherever mm-hmm. you live. And then that would provide an enormous advantage in terms of getting a job in that field. Because number one, you understand the lingo.
Right.
Number two, you have some contacts already. And, mm-hmm. you know, nobody else came to talk to them. And so when
That's
they suddenly
right.
have another opening for
they go, remember that that very studious individual that came in a few years ago. Yeah.
So when they need a new home visit coordinator or a new behavior intervention specialist, they're like, oh, you know what? You know, that person showed up and interviewed two of our behavior intervention specialists.
Right.
And so let's call that person and see if they're available.
Well, I'll tell you, the job that I have right now, it is due to an informational interview that I did a couple years ago.
Really?
A year or two before I got hired, yes.
What happened?
Well, I wanted to get into academic advising, and there's virtually no internships in academic advising. And I was like, well, I need to shoehorn my way in there somehow. And so I remember talking with my faculty advisor, and he talked about this really amazing intern that he had once. And now he's an academic advisor at Kent State. And I really thought the world of my faculty advisor, and I still do. And I thought, if this intern was amazing to him, I got to meet this guy. And so I connected with him, and now he's my colleague. And so he was the one fighting for me.
Oh,
when this position came available, I go, oh, I know that guy. And so I emailed him and let him know, hey, I see that you have a job opening. Remember me? And so we had stayed in contact for a couple of years after that. So boom, there you go. I got the job.
That's fantastic.
So it worked out for me. So I think it should work out for you. So big take-home points to remember is get behind the scenes. Look at the job through informational interviews. That is a real thing. Please take advantage of it. It's free. You might as well. Do as many as you can from as many people as you can. So whether it's new to the profession, maybe they're seasoned, maybe they're mid-level, do as many as you can as possible. Cast your web like a spider in order to start developing your starting five or your people net.
Yeah.
And in time, your connection could lead to job shadowing opportunities, maybe internships, or even a job position.
That sounds fantastic. And at the very least, now you have a behind-the-scenes look, you know, and you're getting the inside information, the lingo, the opportunities. You're finding out if that's if people are happy there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm a big believer in informational interviews.
Thank you for joining us for the Psychology Pathways podcast. Remember, we're not acting as an official spokesperson for anyone, and this podcast is not endorsed by any department or university. The views expressed here are ours alone. This podcast is the private social media property of Joel Hughes and Aurora Alexander and is not a social media platform representing any department or university. We hope you'll join us for the next episode.
If you enjoyed the show, rate us at iTunes or Spotify and tell your friends.
Find out more at psychpathways.com. That's P-S-Y-C-H pathways.com.
And send your listener questions to psychologypathwayspodcast@gmail.com.